Happy Friday, Tim and Dan in right across Australia. Dan, if you are huddled, if you've got your high vis off and you're sitting on a milk crate listening to a radio right now, how are you? Good to be with you.
Bloody hell, are you? Yeah. We're back after a couple of weeks off, Tim. And, I mean, even just you're off the top, happy Friday. It felt good, and it does remind you, weekend's here.
Well, can I say, I was about to say, weekend's are just around the corner.
There it is. I mean, it wouldn't be a Tim and Dan Smoko show without that little catchphrase.
Dan, lots happening around the world, around Australia, and you've got probably... We're going to unpack probably the biggest story that's been happening around Australia
Hard-hitting.
This week. And and you've got, what have you got?
Okay. Well, let's not.
That's not telling you.
All we'll say is it involves the strawberries.
Great. Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll be back after this.
Little tease.
Very good.
As we set off the top, I'm going to touch on the strawberry fiasco that's happening around Australia at the moment.
What's going on with that?
Well, for those who aren't aware, it started with strawberries. Random needles have been showing up in strawberries.
What kind of a fool does that?
I don't know. But that
there are other words I could use to describe that.
I know,
types
clearly
of people,
riled up. Are you a big strawberry guy?
Love my straws.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And like, granted, I'll usually eat strawberries in like a shake of something.
Smoothie.
I'm blending. So usually if I'm going to find a needle, I'll come across it early.
Fan of strawberry daiquiri? If you're ever out during summer?
Yeah, I like a fruity drink.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, I'm not a big beer guy.
Nah. But, it's a bit carby.
But it is a bit carby. But what my concern in all of this is that people seem to just be boycotting their favourite fruit, because it has also shown up in bananas and mangoes. Something's happening. There's sabotage at some point. But I think it's important that we don't blame the farmers,
We
Tim.
Can't do that. The farmers are the backbone of this country, as we all know.
They're struggling as is.
We cannot back away from the fruit shelves, Australia. Yeah. We need to get behind the farmers. Mm. Get yourself a straw. Get yourself a thing of bananas.
Absolutely.
Every fruit. Apples.
You only know by getting back on the horse. Is that the saying?
Yeah, get back
like
on the...
Get back on the horse?
Yeah, a strawberry horse in this case.
Smash
a strawberry. Hashtag smash a strawb is the hashtag that's going around.
Is it?
So,
all right, well, let's smash a strawb, Tim, because here's my idea.
Sorry, guys.
What's that?
Button pushing mic here. I thought Tim gave me the wrap-up signal the song.
What?
So I started playing the song.
I've got a whole thing of... I've got a ton of strawberries.
Should we come back
here
and eat the strawberries?
Are we out of time?
No, we're not. I just thought you gave me the wrap-up.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, everyone.
This has just chewed up so much of our time by Mike's mistake. Okay, Mike,
sorry,
Jason.
Mike. George, just hold on, okay? We'll be playing in a sec.
Okay,
what have you got there?
What I want to do is, before we're rudely interrupted... The only way to get back on is by just jumping back in, Tim.
Yeah.
What I want to do is I've got a punnet of strawberries. And I figured, let's take a brand. Here we've got Taste and See. Now, a little bit ironic. Taste and See, if there's a needle inside. Try the strawberries and let's do a little bit of roulette. All right? So you get one.
Well, how long are we going to?
Well,
it's not great radio just to listen to someone
eating
a strawberry.
I think it's pretty good.
Here we go. One, two, three.
Go for it. It's...
Absolutely delicious.
Yeah, no needle.
Smashing a straw. There's nothing in here.
All right,
they
here we
are
go.
Delicious.
I got one too. I'm nervous.
Crisp.
They are good strawberries, aren't
really
they?
Good.
Australian grown. All right, none in that one.
Yeah, we're going to keep going. Okay.
I think we keep going.
Let's make this one more. Okay.
All right. How much time we got, Mike?
Oh, it'll take as long as you want. Just give me the wrap-up.
Is this good radio?
Okay.
How's that one?
I'm fine. And I reckon after that we might... Play George Ezra, Mike, after...
That's really? I've got a couple more to get through. Wait. That's a juicy one.
Yeah, that's good. The Bachelor's on at the moment, Dan, as you know. And have you been watching it?
Love that you've led with salivating. I don't really keep tabs on it. Why? What's going on with it?
Fair enough. Nick Honeybadger Cummins is the Bachelor, as most of Australia know. The rugby star.
Yeah, he's not great. He doesn't have much appeal for me.
Doesn't he?
No. There's something about him. I don't know. It's a little bit sleazy. He's a little bit...
Is he?
The curls. It's all a bit... I don't know. The tash. The moustache he's got.
He's a bit of a larrikin. He's a bit of a friendly...
Do people like him?
Yeah.
On the show?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. He's getting...
Confidence.
He's getting slammed for something, Dan, though.
Okay, so people aren't loving him.
Well, it's not him. It's something that he's doing that's pretty important when you're in the dating circles.
Okay, what?
He's not a great kisser.
Honeybadger, not a great kisser. Why? What does he do?
Well, he just hasn't had a good kiss yet.
Why? And what's his kiss? What does he...
it's a bit
tongue heavy.
It's a
or?
Bit open your mouth, come inside type thing. It's just sort of like a. Crikey. It's a bit.
Yeah. I just can't.
I'm sorry.
No, go, no, go on, go on, go on. You got okay. this, you got this. Let's recover.
It's a bit. You sort of just. No. Nah. Can't.
Yeah, no. Sorry. Okay, so it's a bit open mouth.
It's just. He's a bit. He's
yeah,
not great.
Yeah.
And on television, it doesn't look great. It's a bit awkward, and everyone's like, oh, what's going on there? And I actually caught up with someone the other day, and they've just started seeing someone.
Okay.
Who they think is a really bad kisser, but they really like her. Like, oh, she's a great person.
Okay. That's a huge issue, though, I'd think.
The kiss, yeah.
So the kiss. So he likes her, but he's sort of like, is that a deal breaker? Is it? Can he put up with a bad kiss for the rest of his life, potentially, at yeah. this point? You never know.
The first thing that came to my mind was, well, how do you know that you're not the bad kisser?
Absolutely. Because he could be the bad one.
Yeah, it literally takes two to tango yeah. in that situation. So
what do you say to that?
He said that he hasn't had any complaints.
Okay. Well, okay. The flip side to that is she probably has never had complaints because people like him, too cowardly about yeah. it, they're talking about her behind her back.
True.
So it's actually interesting, though, because Georgia, my girlfriend, and I can't even remember how this came up. It was really weird, but we were talking the other night about...
Who brought it up?
I think Georgia did.
Okay.
Which could be a tell, but I don't know. We were saying how when we first got together, one person almost has to... relinquish their way of kissing, all that they know from their previous experience.
Their style, yeah.
Somebody has to give in. You've got to cater to the way one of you kiss. You can't mesh your styles together without an awkward conversation.
Mm.
And I honestly feel I gave away my prior experience. I said, you know, I like this girl. She was not a bad kisser, but you know what? She was actually that good that I thought maybe I'm not that good.
So she takes the lead.
Yeah, and I thought I'm comfortable with what she's putting out to go with this.
Did you have anxiety about raising the bar? Because you're saying she was quite a good kisser.
Mm.
So you had to sort of lift your
yeah.
game a bit.
Yeah, and it took time.
Took time.
It took
what
time.
Was the biggest complication? What part of the kiss?
Well, having to give up, you know, just opening up and coming inside. That was mainly
okay.
the... You see what I did there, Mike? You like that?
Very good.
Tim, I'm a little bit of a farty person. Like, I get gassy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you?
Depends what, like, depends what's in the diet.
Yeah. Well, I feel like people are either more of a burpee or a farty person.
Oh, yeah, no, farty, yeah.
Yeah, if you're farty?
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. Because I've always felt a bit self-conscious about the burp as well, because
that's
I'm
interesting.
Not good at it. Like, I'm not, you know, and some people do it, like,
it's not
oh,
a belch.
He can burp.
Yeah. Yeah,
whereas I've always...
You've got like a little gurgler that comes out and it's like, that's not... What's
always
that?
Been,
don't do that.
In primary school, I was always jealous of the kids who could do fake burps.
Yeah.
Because that was cool. If you're on the playground and you go, oh, I just had some Coke, but even though I don't have any gas built up, watch this.
Yep. Well, that's interesting. In high school, we're on school camp once, and as boys do, you have a bit of a farting contest in the dorm room that you're in.
Do you?
Well, we did. And in ours, everyone's letting out these pearl of farts,
okay.
And then I go, ready, boys? I got one for you. And I call it, before it even happened, the volcano.
Okay.
And I get into like this little position where I'm a little bit hunched, and everyone's watching, and
right.
then this little
ooh.
Came out. It wasn't much. But anyway, so I'm a little bit the same, but with my farts.
Okay.
My point, why I bring this up.
Yeah, I'm wondering where.
Yeah, well, so... Georgia, my girlfriend, again, she's getting another little shout out. She's a big burper. Like she's good at it. She's good at it. And she's all for like, you know, you've got to get it out. But she's not a farter. My issue with that is I'm always like, oh God, I need a fart. And she's like, just do it. But I've never farted in front of her.
Haven't you?
No. And that's why I want to bring this up.
How long have you been dating for?
Over a year.
Nah, something wrong with that.
Why? But okay, here's my thing. All right.
Let your guard down. It's
yeah,
been a
well,
year.
She says, she's like, just do it. Why do I care? Do it. And she's always like poking my stomach, like, come on, do it. And I'm like a child, like, no, get off me. My thing is, you've been with Emma for years now.
Yeah.
One, when did you first fart in front of each other? Two, how'd you do it?
It was very early on. Like,
really?
So early on that I'm actually a bit embarrassed, maybe, to hear that you've been going out with someone for a year.
Well, I have some decency in my, you know, I maintain some self-respect.
Well, we're all adults here. It's not, it's just a bodily function. It's not...
Well, we go away and we don't poo in front of each other.
Well, that's a bit different, isn't it?
Well, okay, well, how long was it?
I reckon it would have been, like, a month.
A month?
Maybe within that. Like,
what were you thinking? What, like, was it a strategic, you know what, I'm going to rip it off like a Band-Aid, do it now?
I think so. I think it was just, you know what, we were friends before, like, good friends. And so, you know, it was probably just one of those, pull my finger or something like that. Something light, something, you know, playful.
Yeah, so it, okay.
And then, you know, I think that's what you need to do. But, yeah, my God, how are you feeling? Do you feel sick?
I get in the car and I fart.
You just let it.
And fart, yeah, okay. And fart.
Yeah, you would need to, because there'd be a lot of trapped.
Is it too late to do it now?
So long as you do it before you come into this studio every day, I'm fine.
Okay, whatever.
Florida, in the United States,
yep.
There's an uproar at the moment in a little community in Florida. A neighborhood in Florida is making a lot of complaints at the moment to the police, to the local council, to everyone who will hear them.
Yep.
About a neighbor who's just being rude and walking around their house nude. Backyard, inside.
Oh, so it's not just an inside job, it's all around the perimeter.
I think they're nudists, yeah.
Okay, and they're not happy about it. No one really needs to see that. I mean, aren't there nudist colonies? Is a nudist colony a thing?
Yeah, I think so. Communities,
isn't the idea that that's where you're meant to live?
Well, this person does stuff like washes his car, like works on his car nude.
That's odd.
He gardens nude, bending over.
I can understand certain things being enjoyable to do nude, but I can't imagine. First of all, you'd have to be quite happy with how you're.
I mean, I'm jealous of someone being that comfortable in their own skin.
Yeah,
that's
like
amazing.
I'd be like, absolutely, I don't need Janet next door seeing you know what's hanging down there.
And in Florida too, in the sunshine, absolutely.
Yeah,
but it made me think. I've done a couple of things at home where no one's home and I'll just do a cheeky, I could...
Yeah, of course.
Just be nude here. Is that normal?
I think it's pretty normal. It really depends what you're doing. We've spoken about it on previous shows where, like, the whole idea of cooking naked, there's splattering. There's, you know...
There's hygiene. Hot,
there is a hygiene concern. But I think certain things do go hand in hand with being nude. Like, for instance, I will often do the nude dash from the shower.
Okay.
If no one's home, more of a stroll.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I'll go in, and often I've got some washing that's on my bed, and I need to put it away, and sometimes, nude, I will sort through it and put it away, because I don't know, maybe there's something in there I might put on now.
Yeah, okay.
So it's a good chance to observe what I've got, what options I have that are laid out. So that's something I'd do nude.
I think that's a great time to do something nude. You've just had a shower.
Yeah.
You're clean. You're squeaky clean.
Yeah.
Why ruin that with putting clothes onto a freshly cleaned bod?
I don't know if you've ever had this. When you get out of the shower and you get dressed too quick, you get a bit sweaty. It's a good time to air out.
Yeah.
You know, just dry up naturally.
This is what I was going to say. Mm. That's my favorite thing to do nude is the natural dry.
Mm. Oh, so you'll just walk around, almost like when you wash your car and you do a lap around the block just to blow all the excess water off. You'll just do a lap around the house just to...
Yeah, and sometimes I take Emma's... she doesn't know this, but sometimes I'll take Emma's hair dryer and...
What?
Just dry myself as well. That's nice. Have you
with
tried?
The hair dryer?
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah. I mean, that's not something I'd do, but... Yeah.
Anyway, give it a whirl this weekend.
Tim, do you ever see somebody do something self-serving in an attempt to achieve something and you go, God, they really, that was a calculated decision they made there because they've decided to put something in motion and it's paid off for them in the process.
Mm.
You ever seen that? It happens in sport sometimes. A coach might call a play.
Like a Hail Mary.
Like a Hail Mary. Yeah. Yes, yes. And then it pays off and the team wins.
Happens in the workplace as well. People go, if I make this move now strategically, I will get this promotion in about 2 weeks' time. They can see the finish line, see the payoff.
And sometimes you just need to do that last little bit to get yourself over the line. I saw one of these in person not too long ago.
Did you? They're rare.
They are rare. They're when you see it, it's exhilarating. It's
like a solar eclipse, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nice.
So the one I saw was... Georgia and I, we've got mutual friends. Georgia's friend, Alana.
Yes.
And one of mine and Georgia's friends from our other job, Jack. Now, Jack always thought Georgia's friend, Alana, was quite cute. He was like, oh, she's real cute. I'm into her. Alana, a little harder to gain, be like, hey, look over here, Alana. She's very,
Yeah, right.
I don't know. It was hard to get her attention. We're all trying to get it for Jack. It was a work in progress.
Was Jack trying lots of different tricks or was he building up to a big move?
Jack wasn't he wasn't very shy about it. Like, he was very much putting it on Front Street. He's like, hey, I'm over here. Hey, Alana, George's friend Jack here, you remember me?
Good.
Yeah, so there's a lot of forward stuff from him. But again, she was very hard to read along.
Okay. He needed something big. He needed something big. Yeah.
Now, one night we all went out. And we all stayed at George's place afterwards. There's a couple of people that stayed over the night. Now, the morning after, Jack gets up, gets dressed, but half-dressed.
Half-dressed.
So he'd been in a bed by himself, whatever, that's fine. Gets dressed and puts the pants on. Doesn't put a top on.
Does the Henry Cavill, Superman.
Yeah, a little bit of that. Yeah, Man of Steel. Now, he walks into the bedroom where Alana is, shirtless. Now, I feel this was... a merchandising move. Now, I've got Jack on the line. Jack, you there, mate?
Hi, Dan.
Now, mate, you've just heard all that. Would you agree that there was some strategy put into that?
Yeah, I'd definitely say so. Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's a big calculated move. I mean, I'm no Henry Cavill, but I don't mind getting the merchandise out every now and again.
How thought out, Jacko, was this? Did you do some push-ups beforehand? You knew that you were about to walk into the room with a shirt off. How much preparation went into this Hail Mary?
Yeah, great question. I knew everyone was in there. I knew I had a couple of minutes myself.
Yeah,
okay. I'm just sitting in the living room, just jumped out of bed, half-dressed like Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? I haven't been to the gym. Just coming off a night out.
Yeah, well, that's it.
I'm just going to jump down, get a few push-ups going, and do sit-ups, and away we went.
Yeah, and it was noticeable to come in. There was a sort of you were pumped. You were pumped when you came in. That you were flexed. And it was, you know what? It was eye catching. And I think if I'm correct, I feel this did play a big part in Alana actually changing her tune and showing a little bit more interest in you. Would you agree?
I would definitely say so.
That's interesting because we've also got Alana on the phone now. I want to get confirmation.
Oh, you're kidding,
Alana.
Oh man, no. Okay. No, just flat no.
What, you don't reckon that was the case?
No, we'll see. So basically after this night out, what happened was after talking about me to my friends for a year. Finally got up the courage, asked me to coffee, and I'd say it took about maybe 3 hours into the first date for me to be like,
It wasn't the push-ups, Alana. It wasn't the Henry Cavill-looking push-ups that did it for you. It was the coffee.
The only part of what Jack said I agree with is that it's not Henry Cavill.
Oh, well, that is, you know what? I've got one question, though. What got you on the date in the first place? It was the shirtless.
No, because it took him a good, so he'd been talking about me for a while, but he didn't even have the courage to make the first move and add me on Facebook.
Oh, so he's a coward. You know. Oh, it's a coward.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, this is a plot twist. All we've learned here was that maybe she took pity on him.
We may have just broken up.
It must be a pity move.
We may have just broken up a relationship.
Yeah, you guys have some talking to do, all right? Sorry about this.
Have a great weekend.
Yeah, I'll call you after, Lana.
Tim.
Dan.
It's time for...
Tim and Dan's rule book. Dun, dun,
dun, the book rules. Tim and Dan.
Yes. Good to be back. Good. Of course, this is the segment, Dan, where we create a rule for society Yeah. Because, I mean, society needs rules.
Especially when it comes to little annoyances that we find.
The rules usually are based around little things.
Little
but
things.
It's the little things that grind you down, Dan.
Yeah, it is. And we put them into our rule book. Open up the rule book for this week, can you, mate? That would be...
Hold on, let me
okay, good. Very thick. It. Very thick book.
It's getting thick.
Yeah.
There's lots of rules.
Now pass it over here because I need to refer to last week's rule last show's rule that I came up with.
Awesome.
All right, so last rule we had, if you get a text from someone that's in the same room as you, you can't acknowledge that text out loud as it's likely about someone else in the room.
Great rule. Great rule.
It was good. It was a good rule. We had a lot of feedback from it. People enjoyed it.
Mike had a lot to say about that rule, if I recall.
Yeah, he did. He thought it was a good one.
Yeah. My rule today, Dan, is going to shake things up massively because it's something that I think maybe, I don't know, maybe since the beginning of time has been a rule and I'm about to just change it.
Oh, okay. So it's an existing rule that we're making an amendment to. This is new ground for us.
This could be, we could get backlash.
Okay. What is it? What is it? Give it to me.
The rule that's going into the rule book today.
Pen out.
Pending debate.
Yes.
At a lunch or dinner party, the host will eat first.
That's a bizarre rule.
In a buffet situation. So the food's been put out. You know, people go,
the host serves themselves first.
No. Wait. Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's what you want it to be?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
I can sort of see where this is going.
So
what happened?
I was at a lunch the other day and my friend put it on. It was awesome. They had slaved away. You know, everyone always goes, oh, don't bring anything. Don't worry.
Yeah.
You always do.
Yeah.
A box of favorites, whatever. But it was the most magnificent spread.
And what are we talking? What was that?
Slow roasted cooked lamb.
So things have taken a while too. Yeah.
Oh, roasted potatoes. We all know that they're a nightmare.
Are they?
No, they are.
Yeah, okay.
The food is all laid out. It's amazing. And there's probably 20 people there. It's a big, they've been slaving.
Yeah.
And they said, go on, start, everyone, don't wait for us. In their aprons and their tea towels over their shoulder.
They're still preparing and almost cleaning up, sort of just putting finishing touches on. Now, guys, start.
Probably got up at 6
to
get this lunch ready for us.
Yeah.
Everyone's gone through, all the guests.
Yep.
Scraps. There's literally scraps left. Now, that's not fair.
That isn't
fair. I'm sticking up for the people, the very sociable people who love hosting events. They sit down and they eat the chaff at the end.
I think
it's not right.
The chaff.
I don't know if that's a word.
I don't think that is a word. I think this is a good rule. If you are, it's an Australian sport, I guess, but coming into grand final day, AFL grand final day.
Great rule.
People have barbecues. They have people coming over. This rule is great to put into effect come grand final day, guys. So bring out the rule book because I do think those that spend all the time cooking and slaving over the food should eat first. And you know what? I will back you up a little bit more. I often feel more inclined to grab myself a plate and go in and get the food if someone else starts.
Especially
if it's the host, but anyone. So I think it's a good thing for the host to start doing as well. Grab a plate. All right, guys, come on, we're in. And
great.
Then they
That's
jump
it.
In.
That's
everyone
it.
Goes, fantastic, let's get in.
They get the best chicken breast. They get the cream of the crop.
No one's arguing with that.
Because they have slaved away. They've spent the money on the food. They've really nailed it.
I think the only people that will have a backlash with this are the very pedantic hosts. I don't think a guest would have an issue with this rule.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Mike, you happy with that rule?
I hate to derail the segment.
We were so close.
I was just going to say I completely disagree with this, but...
Why?
Because I think it's the host's responsibility to ensure that all the guests are well fed. And if you're eating first, I find that quite selfish. You've invited the people over. But hey, it's your show, guys. I don't care. Do what you want.
Well, Mike, we're going to put it in the rule book.
Yeah,
here it's it goes.
All right.
Just get that. Shut that book. Okay, very good.
All right. That's another rule. Tim and Dan's
rule book.
The book rules with Tim and Dan. All right, I've got one for you. So you and I, another thing we've spoken about before, we like looking for new fitness fads, like things that might increase our health a little bit.
Yeah.
We've the famous Superman workout we once did. There was like a military thing that Henry Cavill, two name drops on this, Henry Cavill.
I think our bodies have a temperature sensor, Dan, you and I. I think that our bodies pick up when summer's coming. And it goes, you're not ready.
We're the only ones.
You're not ready. Yeah. You're not ready for this. Uh-huh. You're going to be getting a shirt off and you need to do something about it.
Yep.
Dan and I will Google whatever the superhero movie is at the time. How did that actor get into that shape?
Yeah,
well, follow these 37 steps and you'll do just that.
So, and it is. It's something we've done from time to time. Are you even, I think you and Emma were dabbling in vegetarian at one point? Or like,
there was had a swing at it.
Yeah, it was sort of like a we eat meat on weekends type thing. So it was like half-hearted.
It was a balance. It's all about balance.
So I've got a new one for you. All right?
Yeah.
I sort of want to see what sort of extremes you're willing to go to. Because as you said, we're coming in the summer. Got to get the rigs in shape.
I am looking for a new thing.
Great. I reckon I might have one for you. Have one for you. So this woman has lost, ready for it, 60 kilo.
60?
60. 60 kilo by this new method that she's come up with herself.
Really?
Really?
Is this in stores or something? What is this?
Well, no. I think she's trying to market it at the moment. Let's see how effective her marketing is. Mike's got the audio for it here.
My practice with urine therapy.
Tim, you've got the video.
This urine was captured midstream this morning. This was the urine that was captured before after. This is my routine.
So walk us through. What are you seeing there, mate?
This woman is drinking. She's swishing around in her mouth her urine.
You can hear that.
She's swigging it like it's Listerine. And now she's filling up a shot glass.
Yeah. What's she doing?
Oh, she's pouring it in her eye.
Yeah.
She's pouring urine in her
eye. She's blinking urine.
She's blinking in urine like it's some sort of antihistamine for her hay fever. What's happened here?
Wait, what else is happening?
She's still blinking. She's still swirling
it. It takes time. This is the morning process that she goes
through. Oh, now she's sniffing it.
No.
Yeah, she's just drinking it and brushing her teeth with it. This is
electric
toothbrush. Okay,
so what we've got there.
Okay, well, the sound.
The sound.
The sound of it is
Well, she's struggling with it. So what we got there. So she urinates in the morning urine, and mid-flow fills up a cup. All right, so that's the first step. Then she gets a shot glass.
Is that because the first bit of flow is too potent? What's the mid-flow bit?
I don't know. I guess you've got to get the trickle from the top off out the way, and then you get the good stuff in the middle.
Yeah, right.
So here's my thing. How extreme is that to you? Like, would you not do that? You wouldn't do it.
It's very extreme.
It's very... But even then, you're a little tempted. All right, so just to lose a couple kg. I mean, mind you, she reckons 60 kg.
60 kilos, though.
It's intriguing, isn't it?
Interesting.
All right, what I want to know is what it would take for you to get to that level. So, like, you've got a wedding next year. Is that, would you be willing to do it to look good in the suit, or is it not? Is it not quite there? You'd rather hit the gym.
I just got to keep coming back to the 60 kilos.
It's intriguing, pretty good. Isn't it?
Just a
little bit of... there
it is.
Jeez.
Could have almost played Radiohead into this.
I've completely forgotten why we pay Mike today.
Mike's on fire. He's on fire today. He's loving it.
All right, so we've got our bed. All right, this is where Tim gives his little...
It is. This
little
is
thought of the week.
This is my thought of the week or thought for the weekend, whichever way you choose to do it.
And Mike and I have to give our best understanding of it.
I think you two... I think this helps the both of you when you leave here. I think you both leave here.
It's been a couple of good ones.
They've all been good. They've all been good.
Hit and miss.
Today's thought for the week. Thought for the weekend. As you head off to this amazing weekend, spring's here. Spring has sprung. Footy finals are
all right, what is it?
Okay. When you look into an abyss, the abyss also looks into you. Okay. Just let that simmer.
Hang on, just quickly. I've always wondered, what is an abyss?
Well, an abyss...
Is it just like a random bunch of space?
Well, in the ocean, an abyss is like sort of the deepest parts of the ocean. You look down, it's just blackness.
It's just the unknown. It's just nothing.
Yeah.
It's just nothing.
Nothingness.
All right, so what was it?
So when you look into an abyss, the nothingness, the abyss also looks into you. Now, what does that mean to you? You ever think about that?
I've got something, but I don't know if it's right.
Okay, should we go to Mike? Let's go to Mike first.
I was going to ask for more time. Okay. But I guess, like, what I see is that, like, you're looking into nothingness with fear, maybe nothing. Like, you look at other people.
It's a half-cooked idea he's got here.
Compare yourself.
No, I'm liking this.
They look at you and feel the same way about you.
Okay.
Like, people look at each other with envy and they, yeah, that's basically
maybe you're
it.
Not so different.
Yes.
Love it. Thanks, Mike. Dan.
Yeah, no, it's similar. It's sort of both looking at each other
well,
going...
Well, don't copy him.
Well, no, I'm not copying
always,
again.
You always copy me. I always do different ones
Shut up,
to
Mike.
You.
It's not true.
So.
No, I think mine's more... It's better worded. It's both looking at each other, both with the fear of the unknown, which is pretty much what you
That's
said.
Pretty much what...
Yeah.
I guess also but, that the universe is really vast and we don't know
yeah.
much about the world that we think we do.
Yeah.
We're all just doing our best.
Showing off a bit now.
Doing our best. I absolutely love that. And what a great way...
Well, hang on. What's yours? What's your understanding of it?
Well, I would say that when you're looking into nothingness and you feel like there's nothing in front of you, don't worry because
He's
nothingness is also quite powerful. And that's what I would say. That's maybe what I'd say
also,
about that.
Maybe also that time is infinite.
We could go for hours.
Yes. Mike's was is way... Mine and Mike's was better.
I like that. That's a great thought for the weekend.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Very good. Dan, we are on socials. If people want to get in touch with us,
on
we'd love
social
it when
media,
people come say
hi. Instagram, Tim and Dan Graham. Still a mouthful, that. Get it one day. Facebook, Tim and Dan. Search us. YouTube, Tim and Dan. Got plenty of videos up there. And iTunes, where the podcast is. Fly on the Wall with Tim and Dan.
Come say hi.
You can catch up there.
Yeah, good. Dan, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, always.
See you guys. Have a great weekend.
See ya.